106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's Thursday. It's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
So I thought we would talk a little bit about our cats again this week, and specifically senior cats. What are some signs of aging in our cats, and what is considered the age of a senior?
So for cats, at the most basic level, when we're talking about senior, I mean, we'll run our senior panels on both cats and dogs that are over 7, but that's not necessarily a good definition for senior, and only really works for some dogs. It's not even a good definition of senior for them either. So, I mean, I think cats probably 10 and over, I would refer to as being senior. And what happens with aging in cats, I guess what we tend to see in the healthy cat is weight loss, and that can be tricky because weight loss can be due to other things as well as just the normal aging process. Cats and dogs will lose muscle mass just like humans will as they get older. So that can be, again, a little bit can be part of the normal aging process, but a significant amount of it is a red flag for disease processes. But then weight loss and coat, I think, are the biggest things that present to me on physical exam with our older cats, whether or not that's the condition of their skin and their fat layer and how shiny their coat looks, or a combination of that and just grooming themselves and not grooming themselves as much because they're arthritic or they're not as active. Either one can lead to a duller coat. But again, dehydration can lead to a dull coat as well. An unkempt coat, anything that makes the cat feel sick can lead to a cat that is not grooming itself and a coat that looks unkempt. So the take home is a lot of these things that happen as cats get older naturally, and happens a little bit anyway. It can happen significantly with disease processes. So it can be a bit tricky sometimes to judge if this is a problem or a normal aging process.
You mentioned the senior panel. What does a senior panel tell you? And do you use that as a baseline for then as the cat ages to kind of monitor their condition?
So we don't have a classic senior panel. What we do, and most of the time when we're running a panel, we'll start, it depends on what's going on with the animal. So if it's a cat that has lost a couple of pounds and has an unkempt coat, then I'll almost always do just a normal pre-anesthetic panel, but it's a biochemistry, it's a CBC, and an electrolyte. And that looks for just about as much as we can look for with a panel. Now, if there's weight loss, then I'll add a thyroid in there as well. And I think in most places where I've worked and where I've seen paperwork coming from, the senior panel is biochemistry, CBC, electrolytes, and a thyroid.
So what are some common ailments that happen to your cat as they age? Are there certain diseases they're prone to?
Absolutely. So the top three, I think they're probably three biggies with cats, and they all involve weight loss. So that's the big determining factor that they'll have me run blood work. And usually the weight loss is accompanied by something. The owner says, hey, we're vomiting, we're drinking more, peeing more, coat's not so great anymore. All of those things kind of point towards wanting to do some blood work there, because the three top ones for cats, I would say, are hyperthyroidism, diabetes, and kidney issues. The hyperthyroidism we can diagnose with the thyroid test for thyroid hormone in the blood. Diabetes we will pick up with the glucose blood sugar. We'll run on that biochemistry, and that'll go. Sometimes just the act of a blood draw or just the act of a cat coming into the vet. Cats have a really, really strong stress response that involves releasing sugar into the blood. So sometimes if it's a little bit high, maybe 150, 190, something like that, and it's just over the margin of the normal range, we'll attribute that to a stress response. But if cats are reading, in the 300s, 400s and above, then that's a classic diabetes. And then kidney values can also be picked up on biochemistry as well. So your creatinine and your BUN, more recently here, the SDMA, can all point towards having a possible kidney problem.
Now, are all of these easily treatable?
That's one of the big reasons I point to blood work, because hyperthyroidism and diabetes, they are, if not treatable, they're manageable. Kidneys, to a certain extent, can be manageable. For example, cats can develop chronic renal failure, something that's been going on for a little while, and it's happened gradually over time, an insult to the kidneys. they can, the body adjusts for a certain amount of time and then to a point where it really just can't anymore. And so if you can stay in that chronic phase by supplementing with subcutaneous fluids, there are other things that happen with chronic renal failure, like phosphate starts to build up, potassium levels start to drop a little bit, they can become anemic. And there are drugs that can help bind phosphate, so lowering phosphate levels, supplementing with potassium. There are things that we can do to help support these chronic renal failure cats so that they live happier for a longer period of time. It's still a prognosis that is not a great one and not preferable, in my opinion, to the other two. Hyperthyroidism is an overgrowth of tissue in the thyroid gland, and that can either be a benign overgrowth of tissue or a malignant overgrowth of tissue. And because you've got a larger thyroid gland that's producing more thyroid hormone, that's what leads you to disease. So what we can do is, there are a couple of options there. You can actually treat hyperthyroidism by radioactive iodide therapy, and the closest place that will do that is in Queenstown, RadioCat. And it's certainly more expensive, but what it does is it uses radioactive iodide to destroy that overgrowth of tissue and get the thyroid back down to a normal size so that you don't need to, you know, medicate. That should be a cure in itself. Some cats will have to go on and have to be supplemented as well with medication, but that's the gold standard for treating if you can afford it. It is pretty expensive. The alternative, and what we usually do, what I usually see, is there's a medication called methimazole, and that is usually in tablet form, and that will interrupt the production of thyroid hormones. So somewhere along the metabolism of thyroid hormones, it interrupts that pathway. So the end result is you've got lower levels of thyroid hormone rolling around. And so all of the symptoms that we tend to get with hyperthyroidism, vomiting, weight loss, kind of behavior changes, the notorious cat that became mean, all of those should get resolved on that medication and once thyroid levels stabilize. So that's the good thing about hyperthyroidism, you know, compared to kidneys, is it can be treated or it can be managed and they feel better. They start gaining weight. Other things start kind of going back to normal, hopefully. And then the last one, diabetes, that's something that it used to be a really poor prognosis for a lot of cats because, number one, you know, owners would have to be willing to give insulin using syringes and purchasing the insulin and then doing it twice a day. And then not only that, but coming in to check for how well we're regulating it, what dose, if we're on the right dose or not. And that could be tricky. That has been tricky in the past. But now with the advent of this new medication, Bexacat, and I think there's another one coming out on the market if it's not out already, it helps in a different way than insulin. It's an alternative to insulin because most cats are type 2 diabetic. It's not necessarily insulin dependent. It's something that they acquire either through just bad genetics or poor diet. It's something that, or just, you know, being overweight, all of those things can predispose a cat to diabetes. But what this new Bexacat tablet does is it, giving it once a day, regulates that blood sugar. It passes out through their urine. So a lot of cats have responded really well to that. And so, again, you've got a condition that can be managed and they can lead, you know, happy, normal lives for the most part when they're on that medication. So it's not so tragic as it used to be just because we do have this novel treatment for diabetes in cats.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email it to her to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.